Welcome to Career and Leadership Real Talk, the no-nonsense guide for ambitious managers who want to have more impact and progress their career. I'm Pamela Langan, a job search coach and expert CV writer specializing in helping frustrated professionals land the jobs and pay rises they know they deserve.
And I'm Jackie Jagger, a leadership and mindset coach specializing in helping newly promoted and new-to-role leaders to avoid the dickhead trap and lead with confidence. Between us, we've helped hundreds of leaders and managers to find new roles, take ownership of their careers, and handle the challenges that job searches and leadership responsibility inevitably bring. And now we're joining forces to share with you what we know has worked for our clients.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode. Today is a great one because we are talking about how to be assertive without being a dick. Now, we know that is a super strong title and a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but lately, between both of our clients, we've heard so many rants about stupid feedback and feedback that isn't really that actionable. You're too nice. You need to speak up more in meetings. You need to toughen up. So we were like, let's talk about this on the podcast because this comes up for a lot of people generally. And we thought it's a really good time to think about how you can be more assertive. And especially if you're thinking that this is something that you want to develop, then this is going to be really good for you to think about. And what we'll do is we'll go through the benefits and we'll also give you some tips on how you can do that as well. Jackie, you can get us started on this because I know this is something that's quite close to your heart.
I'm having to rein myself in already. We're a minute into the podcast. Yeah, this is a real passion of mine because so many of my clients have heard or made these assumptions that you can't be nice and be assertive, or you can't be polite and be direct. There is this feeling that being more assertive becomes in the territory of speaking over people, talking louder, thumping the table, and all of those kinds of things. And so people who are great people and who are either aspiring leaders or who are in their first leadership role have found this a real challenge to navigate. How do I deliver the level of assertiveness that I want to and that I need to? How do I assert myself in the right way, but without sacrificing that human element? How do I do it in a way that stays true to me? And that was where the title came from, because it's kind of a comment from a client. I really need to learn how to be more assertive, but I don't want to be a dick. So that was where the title came from.
Yeah, and it's one of those topics, isn't it, where everybody knows they need to be more assertive. But then when you get that feedback and you're like, what could I have done differently? What will I do differently next time? And sometimes you get yourself so tied up in knots, don't you? So I suppose we could start with going through the benefits of why being assertive in the workplace is going to really help you. And also not just help you in those meetings and just generally in the workplace, but also help with your career progression and personal brand. I think it links in really nicely as well, doesn't it, with personal brand?
It does. It links into so many other things. It links into personal brand. It links into presence. It links into that career development strategy and being seen and noticed in the right way for future opportunities. So there are stacks of benefits to finding and striking this right balance between asserting yourself and having that degree of presence without taking it too far. So just to run through them really quickly and simply, and I imagine with the people that tend to listen to our podcast, we're probably preaching to the converted, but I think it is worth just running through them. So you've got the benefits in terms of, first and foremost, your own confidence. That's the bit that I really enjoy when I work with clients, is that when they find ways to assert themselves that still feel true to them and that still feel natural and that are small tweaks rather than trying to be what they think they're supposed to be, then their confidence skyrockets because it's okay, fine, it's possible for me. I can get my message across, I can be heard, I can be listened to. And that really helps to boost. And confidence can be a real challenge for people in their first senior leadership role. And that's who I'm typically working with. So for me, that's naturally the first place that I go to in terms of the benefits. How about for you? What do you see from your clients or from your experience?
I think it's definitely confidence as well, because I suppose with confidence, I always think confidence is a funny thing, because the only way you can increase your confidence is by taking the action. So to gain confidence in those situations, you really do need to start asserting yourself, don't you? And we talked about this in the episode when we discussed radical candor. I think that also links in really nicely with this one, and we can link to that in the show notes as well. Because when you realize that you can be assertive and you can be direct and you can be nice and you can still be direct, it really does make all that difference. And when you almost, I suppose it's overcoming the fear. It was for me, because I found that I didn't always speak up in meetings, because what if I said the wrong thing, or what if somebody shot me down? And when I just started being really direct, but in a really nice way, in a really understanding way, looking at all the facts and being direct, it did start to make all the difference. The more I practiced that, the easier it became, the more confidence I gained. So it almost becomes second nature, doesn't it, when you practice doing that, or when you're really intentional with it as well?
It really does. It really does. And I think another area that becomes less of a challenge when you're more assertive is setting boundaries. And that's another episode that we've done that we know people can struggle with sometimes. How do I set the boundaries? How do I avoid other people making unreasonable demands on me and my time? And the more you build your skill of asserting yourself and advocating for what's right for you, the easier it becomes to say no to the things that don't work for you and that are outside of your boundaries. So I think that's a really important aspect of being more assertive too.
Yeah, I think that's a really good one as well, because with the clearer boundaries, I think some of the feedback that I get from my clients is that they don't really know what their boundaries should look like or should actually be. And I always feel with that, it can be a tricky one to start thinking about, because ordinarily, you don't think in boundaries, do you? Just think about getting a job done. But actually, when you start being more intentional with that as well, and thinking about when are people overstepping the mark, when are people pushing me to do more or to work more hours and all of that kind of stuff, that's when you can start going, okay, maybe there's a boundary that needs to be implemented there, because this doesn't feel right or comfortable for me. And when you start thinking about it more, that's when you can start really focusing in on what should those boundaries look like.
Yeah. And I think the final one probably, although there are many more, but again, we have to limit it for the length of the podcast. But the other area for me that's a real benefit is around conflict and negotiation, where people who are able to assert themselves can navigate those types of situations with far more comfort and ease. So instead of things being brushed under the carpet or left to bubble under, if you've got that skill to be able to enter into a negotiation or to tackle a situation before conflict becomes combat, then you really build that ability to keep things moving in the way that you want and need them to work for you and for your team, and to be able to operate and integrate with other areas of the business.
Yeah, definitely. And I think in my career particularly, that was a game changer for me, like understanding that I can have a disagreement with somebody and it doesn't have to be a full-on argument or become a war. It literally can just be a disagreement and we can work through that and we can find a resolution, and I don't need to take offense to those things. That was a huge game changer for me. And that realization that conflict and disputes are part of the job, and my response and reaction to those really make the difference in how I handle those. And actually, that really helped in building my confidence back in the corporate world as well.
So let's talk about some of the practical tips and strategies then. And we've separated these into communication and behavior. So a lot of being more assertive is about finding ways to communicate slightly differently that allow you to get your message across, maybe in a slightly different way, or allow you to get your message heard where you might not otherwise. So our first tip around more assertive communication is to be clear and be direct, which sounds simple, but isn't always easy.
Yeah, and that's the thing, isn't it? Because sometimes you think you're being clear and direct, but sometimes you're also not being clear and direct. So it's about having that sense check in place, isn't it? So that whether you are setting expectations with your team, whether you're providing feedback, or whether you are establishing boundaries around your availability and your responsibilities, that you make sure that those communications are super clear and direct, and you don't have to be rude and you don't have to be blunt with people, but it's just about stating your perspectives and your needs and your limits in a really respectful way without leaving any room for misinterpretation.
I really like that point of not room for misinterpretation. For me, that really speaks to the heart of what clear, direct communication is. And one way that I see my clients struggle is they try and soften the communication and they go into over-explaining mode. So they start with something that is quite clear and direct, but then they add to it, or they repeat it in a slightly different way, or they talk for longer than they need to. And what that means is that the message can be lost in amongst all of the other words that are happening.
Yeah, that is so true. And I think that can happen quite a lot, especially from a new leader perspective as well, when you're trying to make that really good impression, when you're trying to be this super strong brand new leader in a new role, and you want to make that great impression, it can be so easy to go off on a tangent, or to almost, I suppose in some ways it's like waffling on a little bit more than you need to, isn't it? And then your message can be totally diluted and misinterpreted.
And you can become apologetic as well. When you're explaining something, going into further explanation, your tone can become apologetic because you haven't got your message across quickly and succinctly. That's when I see people then, the emphasis becomes on this more apologetic tone. I'm taking up your time. I'm having to explain something. I might be repeating what you already know. And I think sometimes this is about giving yourself more time to think before you communicate. And we found this with the podcast, haven't we? Where we used to think about, okay, what's the general topic? We'd hit record, we'd start having a conversation, we'd find that we'd gone off on tangents, we'd find that we were talking more about an area that perhaps wasn't what we wanted to emphasize. And so we recognized that as much as it might take a bit longer to plan ahead more, when we hit record, we're more likely to get that episode done more quickly. And I think the same applies when you are delivering communication in the workplace. A bit more preparation and a bit more thought before you deliver a verbal communication, or before you start to write an email, allows you to get that message across more clearly and more directly.
Yeah, definitely. That is true. And especially if you're providing feedback that you feel might not be taken in the best possible way, you might want to write out that communication and come back to it later on. And that's the thing, isn't it? Because so often I've been guilty of doing it myself. I'm sure everyone that's listening will have done something similar, where you send almost like a rant back, or somebody's like took you off guard and you're typing out this big email back or a direct message or whatever it is. And you just type it, you send it, and then afterwards you think, probably should have had a little think about that for a little while longer. It is good to definitely give more thought to what you want to communicate in the way that you want to communicate that. And I think sometimes you do need to step away, don't you? And then come back and go, is this with fresh eyes? Is this still the way that I want to communicate this message?
I think that highlights a point that assertive communication is more logical driven rather than more emotion driven. So what you're describing there with that email rant back is that there's that emotive response, there's a reaction to it, as opposed to that considered, measured approach that time and that planning can allow you to do. So when you have that more measured approach, as opposed to emotionally driven, that can be a way to deliver a more assertive form of communication.
Yeah, definitely. And then the other thing that we were talking about before we started the podcast was slowing down, wasn't it? And removing the filler words. And I think that's something that we've definitely had to do on the podcast, isn't it?
Yeah. So filler words are, you know, like, I think, these kinds of things. If you want to know just how much you use those, record yourself having a conversation, look back, because we felt that we were probably fairly assertive communicators, fairly clear communicators. And then we started this podcast and slapped in the face that we do tend to get excited. Our pace increases. We use filler words. So for us, this has been a training ground in adjusting our communication and our approach. So a simple way to do it is genuinely to record yourself and to listen back. Do you sound measured, considered, a slightly slower pace? Or do you, particularly when emotion comes in, when you get passionate about something, people tend to speed up. If you're nervous, then very often you try and rush to get through to the end of what you're saying. So those types of things can really impact. And if you want to be perceived as more assertive, then training yourself to slow down, to use pauses, and not to use filler words can be invaluable.
Yeah, definitely. And I think listening back to yourself, listening back to your own recordings is something that you also need to practice, because I know at the start, when we started the podcast and all of the videos and things like that I've done, I would not listen back to any of them because I would cringe. I would be like, is that how I really sound in real life? But you almost get over that and then allow yourself to understand how you do come across and take those learnings away. And it does really, really help. And I always take it back to interview prep, but it's perfect for interview prep as well, so that exactly how you're coming across to employers and can really help you to refine your answers. All communications, really, but it's such a good thing to start doing and being really intentional about for your own personal development.
We talk about that all the time, with recruitment being a two-way process, and assertive is when you engage with that as a two-way process and you're not passive and desperate for them to offer you the job. So an interview is the perfect time to use assertive communication style and to find that balance and to explain and to articulate well without showing nerves or without becoming aggressive. And I think the final point we have on communication tips is really helpful when it comes to avoiding, if you're more the other way, where when you try and be more assertive, you find that potentially you worry that you might come across as aggressive, then this one is really helpful. And it's to use what's called I statements. And this is really simple. It's about framing statements in your own context. So you are speaking from your own perspective. So what I mean by that is saying something like, I feel we should do this because you're stating your perspective, you're giving your reasoning, and rather than ask a question of, don't you think this would be a good idea? Or I thought this might work. You're stating that slightly more powerful, I've concluded this is my reasoning. You're not excluding other people's views. You're not telling other people you're wrong or I'm not listening to you, but you are simply giving that impression and that perspective. And that can also really help to avoid that defensive reaction that you spoke about before. Because if you say, I think that's wrong, or I think you're wrong, then that can prompt that defensive reaction. But when you say, I think this because, or I'd like us to go down this route, that gives you some power in the way that you're delivering that communication without excluding or suggesting others are wrong.
Yeah, definitely. And I think as well, like, a big part of being perceived as assertive is how you carry yourself. Let's look at some things that people can do, some tips that can help people feel more self-assured in their abilities to use those I statements and to really own their communications and put across what they really want to say in a way that is perceived well from all parties.
Yeah, so behavior and that self-assurance, I think, is a great description, because this isn't cockiness, this isn't competitive or status driven. This is that calm, grounded sense that you belong and that your perspective is worth sharing. And if you can develop that and develop the behaviors, then the communication often comes naturally as a result of that. So the first one that we've got is thinking about the messages that you give to yourself. So that self-talk, that inner monologue, that kind of chatter that people have going on. And this is often a big reason why people don't assert themselves or don't assert themselves in perhaps the way that they'd like to, because they're too busy beating themselves up and judging themselves for the things that they've done wrong or for not being confident enough.
Yeah. And I think when we were talking about this podcast today, making it a habit to remind yourself of the strengths and the talents that you've got and how your experience allows you to really contribute and add value, and really thinking through that and owning it rather than thinking about, or for example, depending on your skill and experience on a topic that's up for discussion, you could say something along the lines of, I'm knowledgeable about this topic and have every right to share my views clearly and confidently around this subject. And is really checking in with yourself, isn't it? And just rather than rubbishing yourself, I think the easiest thing, or the most common thing we do to ourselves, is rubbish ourselves and put ourselves down. How often do we actually go, hold on a minute, I am knowledgeable about this topic, I have every right to talk about this topic? Or even if you have some knowledge, you can still state that you've got some knowledge, you've got some understanding, you've had some experience. You are allowed to do that and share your opinions and stop beating yourself up. And almost, I suppose it's almost putting yourself down, isn't it? And really leaning into the stuff that you do know about, that you are knowledgeable, and giving yourself that positive self-talk rather than that kind of beating yourself up and putting yourself down.
It's a great example. I see this when people are promoted to a senior leadership role and they maybe join the senior leadership team for the first time. And there are two ways when you're in a senior leadership meeting that you can have a perspective. So you can either say to yourself, I'm the newbie here, I'm not as knowledgeable or as experienced as these people, and you can feel nervous about sharing your views or asking questions in case you're perceived as asking a stupid question. Or what you can do is choose to lean into the fact that you are new in that situation and therefore you potentially offer a different perspective. If you're new to the organization, you maybe are noticing things that other people that have been there for years don't notice. If you've been promoted internally, you maybe have relationships with people and have more of a flavor of how people might react or respond to decisions, or what some of the challenges might be in getting something implemented, than someone who's been operating at a senior leadership level for longer. So those are some specific examples of where you can choose to listen to the voice that says, you're not experienced enough, you don't know enough, you're not as experienced as those other people, you don't deserve to have a contribution. And you can listen to that voice of doubt and inhibit yourself and not assert yourself. Or you can listen to that voice that says, I bring a different perspective, I have the opportunity to contribute differently. Those people are more similar to each other and they can contribute more of the same, but I can offer something different in this situation. And whichever of those you listen to will typically drive that sense of self-assurance, and that will allow you to contribute differently. So you spend all 100% of your time in your own head why you wouldn't spend time with a friend who constantly critiqued you and put you down. You find that exhausting, and yet we do it to ourselves. So making that conscious habit of stepping into listening to the more helpful perspectives that help to build that sense of self-assurance and allow you to make that contribution is invaluable.
Yeah, definitely. I love that, because we do always forget about the positive self-talk. I think especially in tense situations or situations that we're finding uncomfortable, positive self-talk always goes out the window. And that goes for me and for the clients that I work with as well. So I think that is definitely something to think about and focus in on. And the second one is one that I really like. I actually do this all of the time, and I'll do it before I get up on stage and speak. I'll do it before Zoom calls. I'll do it. There's loads. I even do it before the podcast. But power posing is one of the things that I think really helps change how you feel. And also, like, it helps with your body language as well, because if you do a few power poses, and we're just talking like standing up straight, stretching your arms out, they can be whatever you want them to be. You can Google some and see what Google suggests around the different poses. But generally, it's just about making yourself tall and standing tall and really breathing in and taking those deep breaths that, like, really allow you to almost own your space, isn't it? And feel really strong in those situations. And I used to, when I was in the corporate world, I used to do power poses in the toilet before presentations. I've done power poses in meeting rooms and actually being caught doing them when I thought nobody was around. I'll just do a quick power pose, and people have walked in and I've gone, oh, hello. And then I've ended up explaining what I was doing, and people are always like, oh, wow, that's a great idea to get you into the right mindset. But one other thing that I do with that as well is I have a playlist on Spotify with all my power songs. And if there is anything that I need to do, like, I've got a song for everything. I've got upbeat songs, I've got slower songs, but I've got songs that really put my mind in the right place for those situations. So if you haven't got a power song list, I would, as well as thinking about power poses, I would also get yourself a playlist set up as well.
Love that tip. This is the reverse of what I was talking about before, where I was saying about logical and measured and allowing yourself to be considered in the way that you deliver communication. Sometimes what you need to feel that sense of self-assurance and confidence is an emotional state that you can connect to, where you just feel it in your bones. And music is such a great way to change emotional state and connect yourself into the feelings that you want to have. I don't have a full playlist, but I've got a couple of songs that when I want to get into, for me, it's more of that kind of creative, expansive headspace as opposed to being assertive. But I love that concept of having songs that just immediately connect you to the feeling that you want to have. And then the behavior follows, because as humans, we behave based on how we feel.
Yeah, definitely. And then, and finally, with this one is the visualization and the mental rehearsal. And I think when we were talking before about recording yourself, as well as going through it mentally and thinking through that process, I think the recording of those communications is invaluable within this, because how it sounds in your head is not always how it comes out of your mouth. And you'll know this, because there'll be times when you've been sat in a meeting, you've been sat in an interview, various different ways of communicating, and your mouth will be moving and sounds will be coming out and your brain will be saying, shut up. This is not what I want you to be saying, or it's not coming out in the right way. So I think the visualization and the mental rehearsal, and where you can record and that's a practice, really helps, because it helps your brain get it in the right order. It helps you recall it much easier. And it is something that I try to do a lot, because I just think from a personal development perspective, it's such a good thing to do. And I advise all of my clients to do it as well, because it really helps. And you can really see the difference in people when they start to do that.
I had a conversation about this just yesterday with a client who's got an important presentation to do. They are doing this in front of a leadership team that they know some of, but have differing levels of relationship with. They're new into their role, and they were thinking through, how is it going to feel? I've got to arrive into a Teams meeting with my slot, with my thing prepared. I've got to consider, how am I going to read the room and understand how they are receiving the messages that I'm communicating? I've got to be ready to keep going if perhaps the reactions aren't as positive as I'd initially like. So it was that real process of mental rehearsal. How do I compose myself? In her words, how do I go and smash it when I'm delivering this presentation? And that mental rehearsal is such a great way. Yes, say the words out loud, but also the mental rehearsal element comes in where you think about the different scenarios that could happen. So you could have people looking bored and interested. You could have a situation in perhaps a one-to-one conversation where you've got to bring up a difficult topic where somebody becomes emotional. You could have it where they get angry. So mentally considering, what are the possibilities that I might face in that situation, and telling your brain how you want it to respond in that situation, allows you to maintain that composure. Because like when we've spoken about mental rehearsal before, it's that process of just letting your brain have a plan so that can kick in if it needs it. And that's the real value.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's also good to remember as well that assertiveness doesn't mean that you have to try and be someone that you're not. And it isn't about being aggressive or ignoring people. And it isn't about faking confidence or trying to be the loudest in the room. Assertiveness really does come from a mixture of employing simple, practical techniques in your communication and your behaviors, along with reminding yourself that you're just as deserving of making a contribution and being listened to as everyone else. And it really does allow you to advocate for yourself and your team in a way that allows you to be heard and create real influence and impact. So if you are listening to this podcast and it's something that you've been struggling with, and or maybe you're struggling to find the balance between being nice and assertive or polite and direct, then Jackie's Leadership Power Hour will be absolutely perfect to help you unpack all of the strategies and really work out what will work best for you. So thanks for listening this week. And as usual, please share this episode with anyone that you think might find it useful. And please don't forget to rate and review us on your favorite podcast platforms. And we will be back next week with another episode.